Take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2, and lick your finger. We are going to use a lot of scripture tonight. Philippians chapter 2, and I want to help you tonight. I mentioned this verse last week. It goes along with what we taught last week, and I'll review just momentarily because of the importance of it. But Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 13. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Watch this. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also as always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Tonight we're going to talk about working out your own salvation. Let me remind you that the word salvation and the word saved are two different words. A person who is saved, they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the word salvation is different than the word saved. The word salvation means salvaged, recycled, reused, turned into another purpose. Now, that's important because, hang on here for just a second. Being saved means rescued from destruction. Salvation means recycled or salvaged and used for something else. Now, that's important because they're not the same word with the same meaning. Being saved is immediate. Salvation is a process.
Yes, sir.
Being saved happens that fast. But your salvation, we would call it your growth in grace, is a process that doesn't stop. Now, God tells us to work out your own salvation. God does not tell you to work out getting saved. I said this last week. Here's where religion has crept into us judging people. Well, they said they got saved, but I don't see any evidence of it. Oh, you're judging their salvation, but you don't have a right to judge if they're saved. They may not have grown as a Christian. They may not have been recycled all the way. But you can't judge whether they've been spared from hell or not.
Sorry.
That was an immediate decision. You can pull your plastic bottle out for the recycler, but if it sits in the garage for 10 years, it didn't get recycled.
Sorry.
It's been saved, but not recycled. Everybody doing okay? You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and go to heaven no matter what happens.
Right.
And you will. But your salvation, your salvaging, your recycling is how you grow in the Lord. Now, God tells us very clearly, Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. That means you cannot get saved by your works. There's nothing you can do by works to get saved. By the way, there's nothing by works you can do to keep your salvation either. So quit judging people's works, whether they're saved or not. Now watch this. God did not command us to work out getting saved. But he does tell us in Philippians chapter 2 to work out our own salvation. Now, watch this. Getting saved was God's part. He did his part. He took care of all that was necessary for us to get saved. Is all we have to do is accept that. Our salvation is our part. Getting saved was all done by him. Our salvation, it's all on us. Now, he did say he'd leave us the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us and the Word of God to instruct us. But how we obey it is up to us. Now, listen very carefully here. We do not work to get saved, but our works after we get saved determine how much recycling remakes us into something more useful. The more obedient you are to Scripture, the more recycling that takes place, or the more salvation that takes place in your life. Amen. Now, take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm just about positive you've never had anybody take you to this chapter in reference to being saved and salvation, but you're about to experience it. Jeremiah chapter 18. Look at verse number 1. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Ooh. Notice, the clay was saved. It was pulled from the earth and put in storage for the potter to use. But the potter began to use it, and it wasn't molding the way he wanted. It wasn't recycling the way he wanted. So he squished it and started over and made something else. That is a beautiful picture of being saved and salvation. We say, "Well, thou art the potter and I am the clay." Yeah, after you get saved. And that is for your salvation to be worked out in your life. Now, God tells us to work out our own salvation. Look at it again, verse number 12. Last half of the verse. "But now much more in my absence, work out your," what's the next word? "Own." Ooh. He didn't say work out somebody else's salvation. He didn't say judge somebody else. He said, "Keep your nose on your own business. You're a big enough sinner. You got enough to take care of." God doesn't say that it's our business about anybody else's salvation. It's our job to work on us.
Amen.
Now, he doesn't say have religion that you decide how you get saved. That's not what working out your own salvation is. By the way, most religion, okay, listen to this very carefully. I believe somebody after they get saved should be baptized.
Yes,
it's a command of God. But did you know you can go to heaven without being baptized?
That's right.
Thief on the cross did. I can take you to a bunch of my converts that did because I want them to Christ on their deathbed. So I can go to heaven without being baptized, but there are religions that say you have to be saved and baptized or you're not going to heaven. Oh, that's putting your salvation with being saved, and that's man telling God how God must accept man. There are those that say, "Well, you got to speak in tongues." Well, I speak with my tongue all the time. It's the only way I can talk. And I don't think my tongue hung like him. What was that? Yeah, I got COVID. Where you trick the guy to lick the flagpole when it's 10 below zero. And yeah. God doesn't want you working out how to get saved. He already gave us a plan of getting saved.
That's right.
You are a sinner on your way to hell. Jesus came, paid your sin debt for you. He was our Lamb of God, but he resurrected as our high priest, put his blood on the mercy seat. We trust what he did to take us to heaven. It's over.
Amen.
Now your salvation has to be worked on. If all you ever did as a parent is pop that puppy out as a baby and you just let her sit, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. Going to die. But there was a birth. It's no less a person. But how they grow is determined by those who rear them, correct?
Amen.
Same is true as a Christian. Now, let me say it this way. He does want us to work out our own salvation or our own recycling after we get saved. I must hurry. Number one. God made it clear that we do not get saved by our works. Let me say this again. God makes it very clear we don't get saved by our works. I already gave you Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 3. I'm going to quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 for you. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. That what? That faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me. Oh, for by grace are you saved, right? Now watch this. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think of soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man what? The measure of faith. God has put into every human being enough faith for them to get saved.
Amen.
That is the gift of God by grace. Every people group in the world wants to know about salvation. I'm convinced of that. They just need somebody to present the truth to them. I have been in places in Mexico where they have never seen a white person before, thought we were still mad at them over the Texas border. Watched a lady that was 103 years old get saved. She came up and she said, I've outlived my husband, I've outlived my children, some of my grandchildren, I've even outlived. She said, are they in that hell you preached about? Ouch. You talk to a little old 103-year-old lady and tell her the truth. So we get saved by grace through faith. Romans chapter 10. Turn back another page or two. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
Say it again.
Saved.
Huh. Does it say that that if you do all these things and everybody sees it, that you're saved?
No. Nope.
Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be
saved.
Huh. Well, sounds like once you do it, it's done, right?
Amen.
All right. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, look at verse number 16. Oh, I love these verses. I have so much I want to do right here, but I don't have the time. Galatians chapter 2, look at verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified or saved by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Correct?
Right.
All right, look at Galatians chapter 3, verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed God. Look at me. Abraham was before the law of Moses.
Right.
And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Ooh, God says that there is none righteous, no, not one. That's imputed righteousness at salvation. That's the righteousness of God. So as he believed God, it was given to him as counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, watch this, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Ooh, the gospel was preached to Abraham. He was looking ahead to what Jesus would do. We are looking back at what Jesus did do. Watch this. Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. We do not get saved by law. We are saved by grace through faith, trusting Jesus Christ, what he did for us, and that alone. We were in Ephesians. Turn over to Ephesians again, chapter 2, verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Watch this. And that's not what I wanted, but that's okay. In whom also you are builded together for the habitation of the Spirit. And I think I wanted Galatians chapter 2. I did. Oops. Those were good verses, though. Just not the ones I wanted. Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse number 20. Hey, nobody's perfect, all right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. When I'm out soul winning, somebody will say, well, you have to do this to get saved. And I always say this. If you have to do something to get saved, then why did Jesus die on the cross? They go, I don't know. For our sin? Oh, so what you're saying is what Jesus did isn't good enough? Oh. By the way, what he did was good enough. So we are not saved by our works. We're not saved by keeping law. Number two. After God saves us, we are to work out our own salvation. I'm about to have some fun. Do you know what the term work out means in the Greek? I looked it up. I've chased it every which way I can. I don't look in commentaries. I look in real books. The word work out means mold into fitness, to practice. If you go to the gym and work out, that's exactly what God says we're supposed to do with our salvation. We are to exercise it. God says we're to exercise our salvation. We're to put it to use over and over and make it stronger and more useful and more recycled. God says he wants us exercising our salvation. Because as you exercise it, you get stronger. As you get stronger, you're more useful and more salvaged. If you notice, water bottles have gotten pretty flimsy. Cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. To where if you open one the wrong way, you shoot half of it out the top. Or you get a Methodist baptism, you know. Ugh. Say, what is that? Because these are cheaper and cheaper. I don't want to be a little flimsy plastic water bottle. I'd like to be something that God could use. Now, I'd rather be a water bottle than burning in hell. And I'll take the water bottle, but personally, I'd like to be something more than a plastic bottle for God. How about you? God says we're to exercise to make ourselves stronger and more useful for him. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. We read verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at verse number 10. For we are his workmanship. Oh, workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God says, I made you to do good works after you get saved, not to get saved. We are his workmanship, his craftsmanship, his ability to recycle us, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. How do we get it? By doing good works. Turn back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Folks, this is about as pure a Bible study as you can get, I promise you. Look at Psalm 51, verse number 12. Notice the words. Restore unto me the joy of thy what? Does it say the joy of being saved? No, it says the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. In other words, by the way, joy doesn't mean happy and jumping up and down excited, like Brother Arcola was when that feller handed him a $200,000 check yesterday. And I know how he felt. He said, preacher, I got to call you because you're the only man I know that knows exactly how I feel right now. I said, brother, let's shout for a while and then we're going to pout. Now, the word joy means going through difficulty with a good attitude. So he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation as I go through hard times. Oh, I got to hurry. Romans chapter 10. We were just there. Romans chapter 10. Can I show you something about the plan of salvation? That some of you, we call it plan of salvation, plan of being saved. Look at verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, what's the next word?
Saved.
Okay, say it again. Shall be what? Saved. Now watch this. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto what? You believe with your heart, you trust what Christ did to take you to heaven, your salvation is you telling others about it.
Amen.
With the mouth confession is made unto your salvation. Hey, I got saved. I've been saved for X number of years. This is what happened when I got saved. That is your confession about your salvation. Everybody doing okay? Look at, I don't have time to, we don't have time to turn to all these. Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Folks, the Bible goes together so well. Psalm 37, look at verse number 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He didn't say, but the being saved of the righteous is of the Lord. He said your salvation is what will give you strength. Psalm 96 verse 2. Turn to Isaiah 45. Oh, my soul. I have so many verses, we'll never get through them all. And I didn't write them all down even. But Psalm 45, look at verse number 17. Isaiah 45. Did I say Psalm? I'm sorry, Isaiah 45. My failure. I saw everybody's heads going. Isaiah 45, 17. The Bible says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Oh, you get saved, but there's an everlasting salvation attached to it. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Folks, when you got saved, there is an everlasting salvation attached.
Amen.
Did you know when you get to heaven, you're going to grow?
That's right.
I taught a series on heaven years ago. I personally believe you enter heaven at the spiritual level, you leave earth. You'll lose your sin nature. But there are things that you are going to have to learn and grow with in heaven if you didn't get it down here on earth. I don't know about you, but I just want to hit the ground running up there. It never says we'll be perfect. It says you lose your sin nature and your ability to sin and your memory of sin. It doesn't mean all of a sudden you get there and you're as spiritual as Jesus Christ. Ain't none of us going to do that. Everybody doing all right? Whew, getting heavy in here. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which has accused them before our God day and night. Notice it's talking about our salvation, not our being saved. Our righteousness is what cast down the devil out of heaven, and it was his righteousness. Amen. With our salvation. God wants us to work out or exercise our salvation so that we can have the joy that goes with it. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time that you've been to the spiritual gym? So, number three, how do we exercise or work out our salvation? Does me no good just to tell you to do it if you don't know what to do. So, God told us what to do. First of all, we need to learn and study and read our Bibles. Turn to John chapter 5. I'm going to use the Bible. By the way, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Preacher, what commentaries do you use? None. I don't read what somebody else wrote about it who wasn't a soul winner. I read what God wrote. I figured if he wrote it, I could read it, and that's good enough. John chapter 5, look at verse number 39. Bible says this, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which are testify of me. Talks about our eternal life, our eternal salvation. Can I tell you something, folks? I'm going to make a statement here. Churches that use the wrong Bibles don't teach eternal security. When you start changing Bibles, you start changing eternity. Mark my words. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Say, preacher, why do you throw such a big fit about what Bible we use in church and that we're supposed to use? I'll show you right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy, what? Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto
salvation.
Now look at me. Make thee wise unto salvation. Not about being saved. Keep going. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's being saved. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's one of the things you have to work out. Doctrine. Let me ask you a question. What do you believe and why do you believe it? I grew up in church. But there came a day where I had to stand for myself and understand what I believe because God said it, not because my mom or dad said it, not because my pastor said it, not because my Sunday school teacher said it, not just because I heard it my whole life. What did God say? Say, yeah, but you were a preacher. No, I had to come to that before as a preacher. I had to know what I believed and why I believed it, period, end of discussion. You see, we're to learn the Bible and study it. Psalm 69, I'll turn there. You need not turn there unless you're really fast. Psalm 69, let me read one verse to you, verse number 13. And my pages are sticking here, hang on. Psalm 69, verse number 13, the Bible says, "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation." The word truth there, the Bible is known as truth. The truth of thy salvation. It's in reference to the word of God. So one of the things you have to do is read your Bible. Study your Bible. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The perversions of the Bible say, all scripture that is inspired is of God. That's enough to make me want to vomit. Okay, which ones aren't inspired? What scripture's not inspired? It can't be scripture if it's not inspired of God. God breathed. That's why I throw such a fit about what Bible we use around here. Well, the others are good books. No, they're apostasy. They're more dangerous than Playboy in some ways. Because these pretend to be spiritual. I got to hurry up here. So, first thing you ought to do is be in your Bible. I think every Christian ought to read their Bible every day. I didn't say how much. I think you ought to read it every day. Whether it's one verse, one chapter, 5 chapters, 10 chapters, 3 hours, I don't care how much you read it. I think you should read your Bible every day. I think sometime in your life you ought to read through the Bible once in a year. I think it's a good thing to do, but I don't think you're a bad Christian if you don't do that every year. I average about 2.5 or 3 times a year just reading through the Bible. That's not my study time, that's just reading time. I do a lot of reading. And I do a lot of reading of the Bible. You say, why? That's my life. That's what you pay me for in some ways. I don't sit in my office and read my Bible all the time, but I read a lot of scripture. Say, why? Because I have to help people with scripture. So you work out, you exercise your salvation by the word of God. How can you obey it if you don't know what it says? So to obey it, you have to know what God says. Next, second thing you have to do is get the gospel out. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Ooh, the gospel or salvation, ready to be revealed. How do you reveal it? You get the gospel out. Go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Look at verse number 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. We're supposed to not just get the gospel out, but we're supposed to show people how to live. Teach others to be soul winners. Teach others to get in the Bible. Teach others to be at church, etc., etc., etc. We don't have time to turn to all these, but Psalm 71:15, Psalm 50:23, and Psalm 96:2 all talk about us showing forth the word of God, getting people saved, getting the gospel out. Then, so we have to be in the word of God. We've got to be getting the gospel out. Then we ought to be faithful to church and learn how to live. Folks, can I tell you something? You go to the gym or you have a place that you go to exercise, the best place to go to learn the things of God is the house of God. Amen. Teaching the word of God, preaching the word of God around the fellowship of the other Christians, guess what? You'll learn the word of God and obey it, and it's a place where we make opportunity to obey the Bible better.
Right.
Isn't that what it's all about? I said this a couple weeks ago. Church is not supposed to be a place of worship. Do that on your own.
Right.
Worship is you loving on God. Telling God how wonderful he is. Folks, I love my wife, but I'm not going to tell you how much in front of everybody. When we get home, I'll tell her. I'm to love on her in a special way at home. That's what worship is. Well, it's a house of worship. Show me one place in the Bible where it's called that. It's not. That's man-made. Everybody doing okay? You have friends here going the same direction. Did you know if you exercise alone, it's hard? If you exercise with somebody else, you get more done? We are not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be opposite the world. Churches that are like the world are not exercising salvation. They're exercising worldliness. You drop the music, you start playing rock music, and you got your stage shows, you got the crazy lights, you got the auditorium dark, and the stage is all blue lights, and the guy comes out with his little sweater on and sits down on a bar stool and has a little talk with Jesus. Gag. And then his wife comes out and does the preaching. Like Joel Holstein. I think you ought to get involved in the work of God at the house of God so that when you're by yourself, you can work out your own salvation a little better. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. Number next, and I'll finish with this. Salvation gives the repentance to change your life, not the repentance of being saved. Everybody listen to me very carefully here. There are two righteousnesses. There is the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to us the moment we get saved. Then there's our personal righteousness. That's the goodness that we do. Here's the thing. You're not good enough to merit getting saved. You're a sinner. So the moment you say, I'm a sinner, I'm not righteous enough, I need what Jesus did for me. The moment you do that, you get saved. And the Bible says God imputes the righteousness of Christ to your account. Amen. Did you know the day you got saved, Brother Barnes, God put the righteousness of Jesus Christ on your account? Boy, did he take care of a lot of sins on that one. Not as many as Brother Steve, but a whole bunch of them for sure. Now, wait a minute. God put the righteousness of Christ on your account. That does not mean here on earth you are just like Jesus, though. Means when it comes to facing God in heaven for being saved, you are as righteous as Christ. But you're to work out your own salvation. You are to live righteous after you get saved. Here's where the doctrine of repentance gets preached wrong. To get saved, they say, you have to turn from your sins or you really didn't get saved. They're judging your salvation, not getting saved. The moment you go from trusting your own righteousness and your own works and your own life to trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the act of repentance for salvation, for getting saved, excuse me. That is the repentance needed to get saved. You go from trusting self in self-righteousness to submitting to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is repentance. But there is also a repentance after salvation. That is the repentance that changes your life. That is the turning away from the things of the world to become closer to God. You see, our goal in life is to get close to God. And we are to turn from the world, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And as we grow and work out our salvation, the sin and the things of the world are to be pushed aside so that we can get closer to Him. It doesn't make you less or more saved. But it makes your salvation stronger and stronger. Now watch this. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I have 2 minutes. Whew. Hurry up. Turn fast. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Notice it says salvation, not to be saved. The sorrow of our repentance is for our salvation, not for being saved. Oh, back in the old days, they used to have what they called the old mourner's bench. You had to come forward and cry and wail, and if you didn't cry and wail loud enough, you didn't get it. Say, what is that? They were preaching a sorrow about sin that you had to be sorry enough to get saved. No. It's after you're saved that the Holy Spirit convicts you and you say, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, God, would you help me? I shouldn't have lost my cool. I shouldn't have said those things. Lord, help me. That's the sorrow. It's not wailing at the altar. Oh, God. Yeah. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. Oh, so many things. Not enough time. I need Brother Randy to play twice as fast. We're going to play double time next week on the songs. Psalm 85, verse number 4. Turn us, O God of our salvation. Notice the word turn us. It's the word repent. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. In other words, I'm doing something to make God mad at me. Turn me around so I don't make him mad anymore. Fellers, when you poke the bear, you're going to get bit. Quit poking the bear. Turn around. Quit doing the things that cause people to get angry all the time. Well, every time I do this, they get mad. Well, then quit doing it, stupid. I'm sorry, ignoramus. You do not turn from your sins to get saved, but you do turn from your own righteousness to the righteousness of Christ to get saved. Now watch this. Salvation is better knowledge of what God wants, and it's the knowledge of God's works. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm done. I'm already a minute over, so well. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse number 17. This is talking about the armor of God. Look at verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Can I tell you something? What is the helmet cover? That's your head. That's your brain. Our brain, our mind is the knowledge of our salvation, and we're to protect that so that we can be strong in battle. That way, when somebody comes to you with a strange doctrine, you say, that's not what God said. God says this. You don't study wrong doctrine. You study right doctrine. Amen. Wrong will reveal itself. Worst thing in the world is teach people wrong doctrine because, well, I got to study the Catholic doctrine so I know what to do when I talk to a Catholic. Dumb, 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 goober. Well, I got to know what the Mormons say, so I'm going to study the Mormon doctrine. Don't do it. Well, I've got to read the Book of Mormon so I can say, no, you don't. You need the Word of God. Well, how am I going to do battle? You don't do battle. Let God do battle. Use the Word of God and beat him with the gospel gun. As Brother Roloff would say, just put more bullets in the chamber. Keep shooting the gospel. Just keep shooting it. As you obey the scripture, you will turn from the world and turn towards stronger salvation. Salvation and being saved, two different things. Being saved is your eternal security in heaven. Salvation is the righteousness you live after salvation. And God says, I want you to work it out. I want you to exercise it. That's why sitting on your blessed assurance in church doing nothing and doing nothing for God doesn't make you a strong Christian.
Right.
You can sit in the garage and not become a car. Just because you sit there doesn't mean you're a strong Christian. It is a working out process, and I'm done. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I have to quit. So many more things I want to say about that, but can I tell you something? God wants us to work it out. He wants us to work out our salvation.